Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 48. We're going to talk a little bit today about water management. It's a perfect week for that, Josh. Just to start off, I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and agricultural engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. In my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband. We have about a 500-acre commercial cattle and hay operation.
I'm Josh Jackson, professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well, where I focus on precision livestock farming. And in my home life, we raise registered Angus cattle and focus on hay production.
Okay, Josh. So our big topic to get today is the water management, and we are currently experiencing some heavy rainfall this end of this week here. But what's been happening on your farm sort of leading up to this storm?
Well, so last weekend was P-Day, so we had engineering day for Saturday. Then also we had some, that Sunday, we ended up all working on equipment. So trying to get some starters. And then, you know, throughout this week, you know, we had a couple good dry days, but they hadn't quite eaten the hay down. So I actually was putting out hay last night at 10 o'clock at night just before it rains, because that's when I didn't want to put it out this morning. Got 1.5 inches of rain overnight.
Yep. I mean, I think that was the case as well where we are. We had a pretty significant amount of rain overnight as well. Over the last week, my husband traveled. I was in charge of checking animals, feeding, doing those sorts of things, which just puts a little more burden on one person to be responsible for doing all of that. So we had some sort of strategic putting out of hay and things like that to make it match my schedule. That took most of Saturday. Sunday, he was gone. I did checks. So we didn't do a lot of extra things on the farm this week. It was mainly keeping animals alive, our primary goal. We're getting closer to calving starting for our spring group. We're about 2 weeks out. Got a couple animals that are getting a little bit closer than we would want. We actually would love for them to start calving here in 2 weeks and all come immediately. That would be really convenient if they came very quickly, but we're just sort of making sure we're ready for that right now.
Okay.
Getting all of our weighing stuff where it needs to be, getting tags where they need to be, all those sorts of things. Other than that, I did put out some hay, sort of like you, on Wednesday afternoon. It's currently Friday morning, and so later on Wednesday, thinking it might have rained Wednesday night into Thursday, which we did get a little bit, but not nearly the rainfall total we did last night. So,
right.
So that's where we're at right now. And so let's talk a little bit about water management, because we had a pretty big rain last night. We were actually very lucky. Originally, they were projecting about 3 inches of rain or a little bit more. And I think some of Western Kentucky got hit very hard last night. But we've had some pretty significant rainfall events in the last couple of years. Heavy rains pretty quick.
Yep.
So what do you typically do to manage rainfall?
So on our big tobacco barn, we actually installed gutters probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
And so that was one stretch, one part. The barn is pretty much the highest point there, except for the road. So right next to the road, and so runoff from the road actually goes next to the barn as well. So we had a guy came in, essentially installed a French drain. One of our contractors, he installed a French drain for us, and then had it run down pretty much around the barn, down the hillside. So we installed French drains to kind of divert some water. We've installed gutters to help us divert water as well. Primarily, and then the slope of the land. Sometimes we actually graded the land as well. So if we could, you know, we also got another way the barn is. We couldn't really do a lot of grade work at that point. That's why we had to do good. Other places, we actually try to use the grade. So hay structure, we've tried to just use grading. Light grade to help us earth and water as well. Got, you know, hay structures are a primary concern. The barns are buildings are a primary concern. Anytime we have a water crossing, sometimes it.
Yeah, we sort of have a couple things that we've done. We put a pretty significant investment in gravel pad at one of the farms, and it surrounds a tobacco barn, an old tobacco barn, which is a huge roof area. And so we did a couple things. One, we did some grading when we did the dirt work to put down the rock, the filter fabric in the rock, because we've essentially created a heavy use area all the way around the tobacco barn. Okay. So the inside of the barn got graveled, and that our working facility is in there. Then we have a large gravel area in front that's sort of like a
holding pen.
It's essentially a holding pen, but it's also primarily for feed. Equipment.
Oh.
And feeding. Yeah, we feed off of that pad, but we can also drive a truck up and around on that gravel pad. It's large enough for us to turn
trucks and trailers.
Probably not a semi, but probably enough that we can comfortably do a 20-foot trailer
right
behind a truck. And that has been pretty nice. The challenge is when we put all of that rock in, we also have a lot of water that moves off of that rocked area a little bit quicker than it would if it was all grassed, which is what it was originally there. So we've been pretty intentional. From that rock area, we have a rock drive that goes back down as part of the drive for the farm. And we've actually put in two swales as you go down, divert water. So the tobacco barn is at the highest point. Then we have another barn, metal-sided barn, that's lower. And so all the water from the tobacco barn and that larger rock pad can run off the edge of the pad across the feeding pad area, but it can also, the way it's angled, it can also run down the driveway. So we created a swale right where it enters the driveway to move that water off into the field rather than leave down the driveway, essentially rock in the drive. Then we have a second barn that's lower down on that driveway, and we have another swale there. So any water that it does, that barn is guttered. So any water that comes off of that barn goes through the gutters. Some of the gutter water, though, can make it onto the driveway the way that gutter daylights. So that one, we have another swale there to keep it from going further down on the drive. So we have intentionally created two swales in our driveway. Note to self, if you were ever to come to visit my farm, you don't want to fly on that driveway because you can bottom something out on those. It works fine as long as you drive at an appropriate speed, but you don't want to drive too quickly over it because it is intended to catch ground flowing water and diverting it. And then we also have a culvert down at the very bottom of this driveway. This is a pretty significant hill slope on this farm. And that culvert just moves water under the driveway rather than allowing the water to go over the driveway in most conditions. Although I will say that we did have a heavy enough rainfall once to have water over the driveway. But for the most part, that
keeps diverts the water
away
from driveway and doesn't degrade your rock. Because rock, rock, getting a rock truck out there is expensive.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're going to always have to replace rock with some regularity, but we spent a significant amount of money getting this area rocked in, and we were not looking to replace it on a yearly basis. So that was a big one. Similarly, we have hay barns. All of our hay barns we have ditched and roughly a French drain. We at least have number two rock inside some filter fabric on the side since we can't gutter hoop barns easily.
Right.
And because we have a series of hoop barns next to each other, it's really critical for us that those barns all be lined up. That all that water between barns doesn't run into the next barn over. So everything has ditching on it. That was pretty intentional on our part. For us, there's a couple spots in fields where we have ditches that we've had to be a little more strategic about filling them in so that the rills don't become huge eroded areas. So we filled in with some large rock in a couple areas. Or in this case, we had some we had a house come down. So we do have some cinder block and things like that got crushed up into some of those areas. Stuff we don't want them walking on, but stuff that will sort of hold the ground and still allow water to flow, but will slow the rate at which it flows through. Helpful.
Okay. I guess also trying to keep sinkholes filled with not as dangerous because we haven't lost a calf. Calves have fallen. water.
Yeah. Yeah. Sinkholes are tricky in this area. For anyone who's not from the area, if anyone's listening, for us, they open up and they can open up under a tractor tire. They can open up for no apparent reason, usually when a rainfall event occurs. The spring is usually pretty notorious for some opening up as we get some heavier rainfall totals at this time of year and just a lot of water moving in the ground. And we've also had calves that we couldn't find when we do a count, and then we drive around and we find one in a hole. A lot of times the mother knows it's there and stands near it and bawls.
That's the best case scenario.
Best case scenario is the mother cares enough to do that for you. The worst case is the mother doesn't seem to notice that the calf is gone. But ideally, we find them that way. And we haven't yet had one get injured falling in. We have found them. We had one calf disappear a couple years ago. And to the best of our knowledge, there's only two things that could have happened. It made it out through a fence that was very poor that's since been placed, or that calf got into a sinkhole and got sinkhole closed back in. And we don't know. I mean, that's very unusual for us. Normally, we check once to twice a day. This was a very young calf. It was only a week or two old. It could have gotten dragged off, but it's unlikely that we wouldn't have seen any sign of it because of how often we check. So sinkholes can be really tricky. We actually, a lot of times, will put poor hay into them.
Yep.
A hay bale is a pretty good indicator of where a sinkhole is. It covers them. Sometimes the cows try to eat them, but if we put a poor enough quality bale in there, they don't usually want to eat them by the time they get onto these fields. And so that's sometimes our preference rather than putting rock in there, but we will put rock in some of them as well.
Yeah, they throw some rock in there. We have to use hay, sometimes limbs, so usually whatever's material is readily available. I know sometimes we have a lot of our water access cattle, so we put our water tanks below our ponds typically, and so one pond we actually did have to put some French drain, in essence French drain, below that pond. The way it was designed, it wasn't put in correctly, so we had to put in some French drains just to divert water. Our water tank. We can kind of collect it all at one, pull it away from our tank.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that makes sense that you would have to do that. But have you found that you've had to do more work in the last couple of years? Had a number of really significant, like short duration rainfall events.
Yeah, there's definitely been more than a few, which I've been surprised that have. Our one neighbor's pond has a pretty good, it's been a fairly good ending. That realize over that pond bank twice.
Got a good free board on the top of his pond.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I too have seen, we've had some pretty significant events, and we've had to reevaluate a few things because of that. But in general, I think most of the strategies we've used have worked. Sometimes we've had to go in and do a little bit more work, or do a little bit work on rerouting a gutter, or sometimes we have to clear out a drain and re-dig it if it fills in. But filter fabric has worked pretty well for protecting structure. The water management structures built over time.
Okay.
But we continue to try and figure out the right thing to do in some area.
Put the filter fabric down around the bottom, and then one, we just left it open. Like below the pond, we just left the rock open and exposed at the pipe in there as well. We didn't actually, sometimes we said, oh yeah, we'll cover it with soil. We didn't cover it with the fabric down on rock. Whatever was water was coming from that pond, because we had a couple spots that were spring. Whenever it got a heavy rain.
Oh, okay.
Had to solve that with.
Yeah, we have one of our small lots that we pulls. We're working on actually refencing it right now, but it has traditionally it had a pond in it. And we didn't really want a pond in where the bulls were. But every time we looked at it, the reason that the pond was there, to the best of our knowledge, is that there must be a small amount of spring flow of water, because there's another pond lower that was a much more intentional pond that was built for for the family and for them to use. And it's visually appealing, but the one that was further back was a shallow pond that was basically just holding water. I assume for two, one, it was a source of water for some animals to drink, which we don't personally like to have animals standing in ponds. And two, bulls, because they can get aggressive with other bulls, ponds just seem dangerous. Yeah. It seems like a leg could be broken very easily if you have to pull your bulls out of two different groups of cows and introduce them to each other with a pond. That seems like a bad idea to me. So we went ahead and did something very similar to what you're talking about. We essentially created a ditch down to the next pond, filter fabric, rock. And in that case, we didn't cover it completely, but we did roll our fabric over the top, knowing that over time it was going to rework. Put a little bit of small rock on top of that, the bigger rock underneath to move the water, smaller rock on the top. And then accepting that over time it'll build up with some organic matter.
Yeah, it just happens over.
But at the very least, that gives us at least a strategy for keeping solid ground in that field. If we do have to put hay out there, the chance of us being able to get in there is now better because we're not being in a wet field that's holding water intentionally. So, and also potentially that downstream pond, by diverting that water underground, maybe some of the nutrients out of there that were flowing from that top pond into that lower pond every time a rainfall event occurs. So we'll see how well that works. I'm optimistic that that and having ground cover and grass will help protect the more desirable pond and also protect the animals a whole lot.
Yeah, the other thing, like you talked about sizing some pipe, I guess, for your crossing. That can be based upon 10-year rainfall event.
Yep.
And then like how much area you have coming into. Right. How many acres are coming into
the
point.
Yeah, and the advantage on this farm is the way the farm sits is that it's really primarily our acreage that feeds into this spot where we ended up putting the culvert under the drive. So we were able to get a pretty good guesstimate on our acreage because there's a nice break on the hill that the neighbor's field for the most part feeds into his driveway. It's just an ironic, it's just where the land was naturally drawn is that it breaks a little bit on our side, but we have a pretty good idea of our acreage. And because of how we've already done work with Google Earth, to figure out what size our fields are because we put in a rotational grazing there. We know how many acres feed into that potentially. So,
and I think we're both pretty much at the beginning of our watershed, beginning of the, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we are not on a blue line. We know where the blue lines are, but we tend to be pretty far removed from them. That helps quite a bit because there's not a lot of, at least we don't have a lot of flowing water continuous on our properties. We have things that might flow during rainfall events, but that tend to be dry otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, we're the same way because we can pretty much, we're right at the beginning of our watershed. Not have huge pipes, about 12 inches.
Yeah, and do you have neighbors though that have more blue line, more significant streams properties?
We do have a couple that do have the more significant lines, and we know that, you know, as we feed into them, whatever we do, you know, can get so, you know, we could be a point source pollution, try to do mitigate any potential.
And we similarly have been pretty careful about like where we've put our feed pads and things like that so that we aren't feeding deeper, but fortunately because we have so much ground and grass cover on it, a lot of things.
We do have a couple, two of our farms have the repair buffers around it. So they don't typically see animals in there, but goats in there. All the wheat.
All the things you don't want growing in your...
Yeah, but like goats love.
Yeah. Those goats are very convenient. Yeah, I had a meeting last night and we talked about sheep talking about solar system, but it's really interesting how collectively they can graze for things.
Yeah, they want, and so they got against the blackberries, cedar tree, being fairly helpful. You put out in the field, and so they take care of a lot of things along your fence.
That's, I think, pretty useful. I think a pretty good summary, and I think a pretty good discussion about a lot of different strategies for water management. There are certainly more out there. We didn't talk at all about berms. At least personally, I haven't yet built a dirt area to try and divert water around a building. I just, most of my buildings are properly set higher on the hill, so I don't need that. Sometimes a recommendation that I make when I go onto a farm and someone says they have water running through a lower, I can see where they could actually create a berm at hillside to move water away rather than trying to ditch it out. But building a berm is also a little bit trickier, and you have to have the right equipment acted. Don't do it correctly.
Another thing we didn't talk about was kind of rainfall garden. And so that's something they have here on campus where feed into rainfall helps mitigate flow and so slowly really percolate.
Yep. Yeah. And I don't have anything that I would describe as a wetland necessarily on any of my farms. I guess if I had one, I probably wouldn't acknowledge it because that would put some restrictions on what to do with it, that piece of land anyway. But in general, the wetland and the rain garden are very similar. The wetland would be a naturally occurring. The rain garden would develop.
Yep.
I guess you can develop a wetland as well. It's a possibility. But most people have naturally occurring wetlands that they have to manage. So a nice thing to have, really good for filtering water and that. But I don't happen to have any of those on my farm. I don't have personal experience.
I just know we have the one here on that. That rain seems garden. To be effective. The rain garden seems effective.
So that's sort of an interesting option for people that want an aesthetic on their rain management.
Yeah, because they can be fairly pretty, depending on what you.
So I think with that, we'll end the water management talk because we got to be out of here before they close down campus for us today. Getting some weather this afternoon. What are you going to be planning to do in the next on the farm?
So, got some lawnmower clinic hopefully Sunday, Monday, but then after that, still working on the farm. So, we took all of our soil samples, we processed all the soils, put them into bags, pretty much making a master list, get them sent off.
I think that's a good goal. I think anything inside is probably a good goal for the next couple days.
Next couple days, yeah.
We have a tractor we're going to get repaired. We're actually sending it off to a friend. He's going to work on it for us. Just from a timing perspective, that's really helpful. Also, we will be figuring out how to put out hay at a couple spots. So hopefully after this rainfall event, spots that were on concrete, tried to use up the feed that was there before this rain came in. But after we get this heavy rainfall event, we'll clean out what's left in the bottom of some of those feed bunks just to get some of that stale, wet material out of there and allow for some fresh hay. Those will be the primary plans for the week.
All right. No trips this week?
I don't think anyone is traveling this week, which is good. We've had a couple weeks of travel in a row, and it'd be really good to have a week where everyone's home and kind of
knock out
tasks above and beyond keeping animals alive,
putting out hay and just feeding calves, making sure checking for ones that are calving.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's plenty going on. So.
All right.
We will see you guys with another podcast.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.